running a business and having nearly 50 employees all over the United States is not easy.
This episode is going to change how you run your business.
We went from a very small business to a large business in less than a year and a half.
Chris has 25 plus years in lending, has worked with some of the biggest names in the industry.
Don't have to be bigger, you can be better.
He's not a banker, doesn't talk like one, and he doesn't think like one.
Everything that you knew before, drop it today and do it this way.
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
We're hosting a small one-day event in Miami on May 22nd. If you're running a home service company doing a few million a year and feel like you should be further ahead, this is for you. We're breaking down how to scale past 10 million using systems, AI, and marketing that actually turns leads into revenue. I'll be there with Benny Fisher and Nihal Kaiser, both bringing real experience from scaling and building serious companies. Small room, serious operators. Comment Miami and I'll send you the details. If you're a home service contractor, roofer, HVAC, tech, plumber, remodeler, and you're still quoting big numbers and hoping customers just pull out their checkbook, this episode is going to change how you run your business. Today, we're talking about the single most underused growth lever in the home service industry, financing. Not as a last resort, not as a fallback when the customer says it's too expensive, as your front-end offer, as your marketing strategy, as a thing that separates you from every other contractor in your market. My guest is Christopher Scoville, founder and CEO of Improvify, a multi-lender financing platform built specifically for home service contractors. Chris has 25 plus years in lending, has worked with some of the biggest names in the industry, including Owens Corning, Lennox, Beacon, and Home Depot, and has built a platform that now serves over 5,600 contractors across the United States, funding 8 to 10 million every single week. Here's what I love about Chris. He's not a banker, he doesn't talk like one, and he doesn't think like one. He's going to tell you things about dealer fees, credit scores, and how much money actually moves from Wall Street to your job site that lenders are now allowed to say publicly. And he's going to show you exactly why the contractors who lead with financing are quietly crushing the ones who don't. This is the AI and Marketing Show for Home Service Bros. Let's get into it. What's up, guys? This is Mauricio Cardinal. I'm here with Christopher Scoville. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, brother. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you. Let's get into it. I think we have a lot to talk about. I think I first met you, what was like 6 or 7 years ago. It's been a while, right?
Way longer than that. It went back to when I was at Renew Finance, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been doing this for 9 years now. So I think 7 years, right?
Easily. I remember driving down. We met one of your offices down there in Miami. You were right, like in the main kind of hub, like the fun part of Miami too.
Yeah, that place has changed a lot. It's actually changed a lot. It's no longer really the same anymore. Our office used to be in Lincoln Road, and we actually closed the office, so we're fully remote now.
Yeah, that was that whole Miami region just needs to be rebooted.
Yeah,
great to be here and be back sitting and chatting with you, brother.
Yeah, for sure. So you've been lending for 25 plus years. You started mortgage, moved into home improvement financing. Give us a quick version of what was the moment you looked at the contractor space and said, you know, somebody needs to fix this.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I was doing roofs in, St. Lucie County, Hutchinson Island, Stewart up there in Florida. And man, it's hot out there spinning rebar. And so I got into the mortgage side. I got into the construction of permanent side. I did some commercial. I did some residential. And then I was like, I was a senior vice president at Service Finance. And I worked with and ran like programs and training programs for Beacon, Owens Corning, Renai, Lennox, Home Depot. And when I retired from Service Finance, I had always kind of had that entrepreneurial itch, right? So it was like, what is I going to do? So I did a couple software things and exited one of them and buried the other one in the backyard. And then I started Improvify, which stands for Finance Improved. And it was real easy. I say easy. Running a business and having, you know, nearly 50 employees all over the United States is not easy. We went from a very small business to a large business in less than a year and a half. Our core, what I saw wrong with the industry was everything that I built our principles on. So, and to sum it up, lenders are great. We're partnered with a lot of lenders at Improvify because we offer a multi-lending platform. But what we saw in the industry was Okay, here's a lender's rate sheet. Here's all the programs. And what lenders do is they hand their rate sheet to a roofer. Let's just pick on roofers today. We'll keep it simple. And they say, go sell our finance programs. And that's it. They don't have training, support, technology, a deal desk, marketing support, guidance. They just treat it like a commodity. So what we did is did everything opposite of that. Our services are not a commodity. It's more of an ecosystem where when we get attached and a contractor gets attached to Approvify, we offer support, training, partnership, almost like we're partners now. Let's go help people, right? So that's the big thing that I saw, my friend, is lending space is always there. It's boring. We don't make it boring. Lending space is always there. The lenders make it a commodity. We most certainly don't treat lending like a commodity. It's something that contractors, especially now, brother, and you understand this from where we are, where we were together in Florida for a long time. The ACB policy, RCB, the deductibles, insurance, storms not coming in certain areas, contractors expecting storms to determine if they're in business or not. It's just not a good business. So a lot of restoration storm focused contractors are now moving to the retail side, which is a perfect, excuse the pun, storm for us, because we're here with all these solutions to help them stay in business and not count on hail falling and wind coming in order to stay in business, which is not a good business plan, by the way. If you're a roofer and you're dependent upon the weather, which none of us have control of but God, it's not a good business plan. So anyway, sum it up. We talked about the holes in the boat.
Yeah, it's something that we'll get into in a second. That's actually something that you mentioned. It's actually similar to what we're experiencing and really just anything related to marketing technology. So with us, it took me a long time to realize this, but in order for us, our clients to be successful, our clients have to be successful. And many times when we implement marketing campaigns, our clients are just, and generally speaking, they're just not ready for the leads. What happens after the lead, like the follow-up, the systems, the operations, a lot of times they don't understand branding, the importance of branding. But there's a lot of actually training that goes into what we do as well. So I say directly, we have to train our clients to be better clients. And that's where a lot of the things, because at the end of the day, our business model is retention, right? Low churn. I'm sure you guys experience the same thing. And the only way that I have that is if our clients to be actually get the benefit and the value from the actual working together. So there's actually a lot of onboarding and training.
I call it the Mercedes-Benz five-star service. And the reason why I said Mercedes-Benz is because my wife has one. It's an AMG, like 545 horsepower SUV.
A quick thing before we get back to it. I'm hosting a small private workshop in Miami Beach on May 22nd. 30 contractors max. We're covering how to turn the leads you're already generating to actual revenue using systems and AI. The whole conversion side of your business that most people ignore. It's at the Palms Hotel, $297 to attend. And we review every application. If you're doing $2 million or more and you feel like you should be further ahead, this room is for you. Go to contractormarketingpros.net/event. Seats are going fast.
That you were the husband and we saw the car come in. They had all these touch points to greet me. And I said, all right, man, I'm going to go in and grab a donut, a water, go to the restroom and I'll be out. We can get the rental car thing, the loaner. He goes, no problem. I'll have it ready when you come out. I came back out. He handed me a key. I got in the car. I drove away. And I drove back to my office thinking, wow, if we, you, me, every business out there had this type of a service level, the retention, here's the retention, will be for my wife to buy another Mercedes someday when she's ready. I'm sold. I'm already sold because they gave me such good service on an oil change. On an oil change, bro. Not like a big major malfunction in the computer. And it was an oil change. Like, dude, that's the level of anybody that's watching this. That's the level that you have to shoot for. And if you have that, you will never, ever, ever have a lead problem. Never. Because treat everybody like that with that much service and aim for earning a five-star review. You'll use marketing. You'll get more and you'll get more and you'll get more. And you'll never be wondering, where are the leads? Your clients are your leads if you treat them well. So anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing. You're still talking about that. When did that happen to you?
It was just a couple months ago.
Yeah. So yeah. You're still talking about that experience. Couple of months in, and it's obviously, you know, it's helping you, right? Helping you, helping the person.
With I have the, stories of my fence contractor going the opposite direction. And you, guess what? I talk and train on the points. I'm so glad that I had so many issues because they give me content for days to talk about.
Yeah.
They were just here for their eighth time again today.
Yeah. So you see the financial pulse of a lot of contractors you work with. What's actually happening out there? Is it as tough? Is the market as tough as they say, or is there opportunity hiding underneath?
Not if you have your tools and your systems and processes and your leadership in place. If all of your, I have a thing here. We've got a great culture at our company. I call it the Vikings going to war. What do you mean? Well, the Vikings, you see them in the guys in the bottom, just they're usually like prisoners, right? But they're still all rowing in the same direction because they're going to war. And they're all rowing in the same direction. And what I see in the industry is if a company is rowing in the same direction, the CEO is bought in, the managers are bought in, operations is bought in, sales managers, sales teams, everybody is bought into winning and going forward and going to war together in the same direction, and not one person is pushing back. With the companies that have their stuff dialed in, and it's usually from the CEO level down or vice president or owner level down, if everyone's bought in to the system to make a business work, they're very successful no matter what the market's doing. It's not about the economy, because people will always need what you all sell. They'll always need what AI can't build a roof. AI can't sell it face-to-face in the home at the kitchen table. The teams that are with us from the finance perspective that are bought in on this, that follow the simple systems and processes that we train and put in place for them, and how to present financing, what to say, how to use our mobile app, do super well. The ones that come on our platform and push back don't do well. How do we know this? KPIs, metrics, because we measure their success data. Do you think people should measure their data?
Of course.
I mean, how do you get better if you don't know where you're at? What measure, what line do you say, we're here, we need to get up here? Well, how do you measure your data? The ones that measure their data, because we do KPIs with our clients every quarter to let them know how they're doing. They do really well because they go, are we doing well? Are we doing better? Or do we need to do better, right? So that's what I'm seeing from the industry. The teams that are dialed in and have a good culture and are rowing the boat in the same direction are doing well, whether there's a storm or whether there's a war or anything that's going on, because people still need to have roofs repaired and replaced no matter where they are in the United States.
And generally speaking, I think what's happened is just gotten more competitive. I think a lot of more sophisticated players have come in, and homeowners are expecting better service, better results, better, more reviews, more testimonials, having content. They're just expecting more. And I think this past year, especially the last six months has been really tough. Some of the people are just really struggling. And I think they're not adapting. That's the reason why it's, and we'll get into the next question about private equity is getting into the space as well. They're kind of increasing the value. They're putting a lot of money into marketing and systems, and it's harder to compete. So it's just kind of basically stepping up the game.
I'm seeing a highly educated buyer nowadays. They are using Google and chat and learning about their contractors by looking at their websites so they can prepare themselves better. We're selling to a higher educated consumer, because think about the 80s, maybe the early 90s, that era is kind of grown up a bit, you know, or that would be the 50s, 60s era. They're growing up and growing out. The new buyers are highly educated because they've got all of the tools at hand to do the research on their contractor before they're even showing up.
What I'm seeing is that there's a multi-step, you know, attribution. So basically people are finding you through Google, through ChatGPT, through YouTube or whatever channel, through Facebook, they see an ad. And it's they're not just using one search, you're searching in multiple ways.
Yeah, that's happening.
So that's what I'm saying. So let's talk about private equity. You mentioned that there's a lot of private equity getting into the space when we talked last time. And they use kind of three levers, right? Marketing, technology, and acquisitions. How does a mid-size or smaller company, roofing company, compete against PE in their own backyard? How do you think what they should do?
Same thing we talked about. Customer service, better relationships, better follow-up, better rapport, being better. Don't have to be bigger. You can be better. And sometimes it doesn't matter who the PE group is. Sometimes those PE groups aren't even, they have no clue from left to right what the businesses are. I've got 7 private equity groups that are clients of ours. 4 of them do really well. They follow the system. 3 of them don't. They've got their own system. They have no idea what the pricing strategies are. But everyone's afraid of them because they're PE. No, if you're an independent small to mid-sized roofer, you can still outperform them through the simple things in life. Marketing, more presence. You can be present in many different places. You can market differently. You can be a differentiator in your marketplace. You can offer financing solutions that private equity do not, because typically private equity companies only have 1 lender. Did you know that? They are using GreenSky or Wells or Service or Synchrony. They're using 1 lender, which means they're only selling 3 products. So if you're a smaller or mid guy and you work with me, you'll have a whole multi-lending platform. You'll have more loans and more solutions than all the private equity people, because private equity people know nothing about financing. And if you're with us, you can know everything. Private equity don't typically have sales trainers training their roofing sales pros on how to present and sell and close and handle obstacles and objections. Private equity doesn't have the deal desk that they can call at the point of sale so we can help them save the deal. They don't have live training every Wednesday on financing obstacles and objections. So you may think that private equity is going to wipe you off the map. I love them. I don't have anything against them, but I don't think that a small or a mid-sized roofer should ever be scared of them. I think that you can out-service them in everything and be super competitive without reducing your prices.
Why are they using just 1 lender?
The ones that I've talked to, and there's been a lot, and I've sent many, many case studies to them and ones that I don't work with. They just don't know what they don't know because they don't know. They should. If I'm a private equity group and I've got 20 roofers in my portfolio, and they're all using different lenders, and they're all using different dealer fees with different approval rates and different products, and everything is dependent on the sale, and 60% of their customers are taking advantage of financing solutions, how do they control their numbers? They don't. Their numbers are so miscued all over the place. Now, imagine if the private equity group, all of them entirely use Service Finance's platform. Same multiple lenders, same dealer fee, same promotional, same secured, same personal loan, same credit repair. Everything would be the same across the board. So they could manage their profits and losses much better by having 1 multi-lending platform across all of them. Control of money. Control the money. Control the metrics. Know your KPIs, know your closing average, your decline average. Who's doing more, secured, unsecured, or personal loans in your portfolio? Do you need to modify anything? Do you need to drop the 18-month same as cash at a 6.25 dealer fee and go to a 12-month same as cash at 4.25 dealer fee to save, 2 points across the board? The numbers really matter when it comes to this.
Yeah. So let's talk about the shift to retail and insurance and how that has changed the last few years, especially in the roofing industry. How does a contractor who's been relying on storm work the last few years, how do they shift to more retail? Like how that's a very common challenge. Like how do they approach that?
Mindset first. It's not easy for me to go into an office of 116, stand up there as a trainer and go, all right, everything that you knew about what you knew before, drop it today and do it this way. You've got half of the room going, okay, I'll do it, coach. You got the other half of the room going like this. Screw you, kid. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So in order for them to accept that things are really changing, and they have changed and they're never going to stop changing, they have to unforget what they know. They have to believe that there's another process that they might be doing. There might be a better way to present the finance. Or I'm sorry, let's call it the sale or the solution at the point of sale. By doing what? Just by simply, hey, how do you want to pay? Do you want to use your money or would you like to use ours? What do you mean? Well, we got a consumer credit center. A lot of our customers are financing their roofs with low monthly payment options and 12 months, no interest. And here's the reason why. Look, we can do an insurance project and it might give you another $15,000 roof and you might see me here next year. Or better yet, I could present you a best, better, and good roofing option for you to purchase. And we could put a better roofing system, a more quality roofing system on here that will really last a long time. And you can do it for, see your deductible, I got you my deductible here. You can do it for like $229 a month with no prepayment penalty. Or if you'd like to use the 12 or 18 months, same as cash, no interest, you could do that. So if a contractor can approach the sale better by being more consultative, saying, hey, not sure how you're looking to pay, you want to use your money or if you'd like to use ours, but we got a consumer credit center and we've got this option, and this option. We can weigh it all out right now. And you know what? When your insurance check comes in on this job, if you're going to still file for insurance, maybe you can pay down some credit card debt or take your wife on a vacation because you've never taken her on a vacation. However you want to buy, man, we're here to help. But I just want to present the best options for you to maybe put a better roofing system on this, right? So it's more of a consultative sale because we got to close the gap on the ACV. I mean, the deductibles, right? How are you going to pay for your $30,000 deductible? Some of the deductibles that we're seeing in Texas and Florida are ridiculous, bro. They're more than the scope of the project.
Wow.
It's nuts. So how are you going to pay for the deductible? I don't know. We don't have any money. Fantastic. We can finance that for you. Plus, we can do an upgrade because, you know, we're going to put a great roofing system on, but man, we can upgrade it to this, right? Oh, let's wrap in your deductible plus your scope plus this and get you a better roofing system. They just have to learn these simple ways to present better options for people to buy as long as they buy from them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. There's no magic pill, man. It's just a system of presenting the options and letting the consumer decide how they want to buy. They still have the ability to do their little insurance scope that the company's going to settle for them, but they still got to come to the table with the deductible too. So why would you, with all this fiasco, want the best roofing system?
I've always like wondered if I owned a home service business or a roofing company, you know, how would I approach it? I think it would be just based on being like a like if you're in a storm area, like a storm catcher, right? If you there's a storm, you take advantage because you know roofing is always going to be dependent on the weather. But most of the time, you can't rely on weather to kind of drive new business. So there's multiple ways to sell to skin the cat, right? Like how would you say? Like you can either do retail if it's non-storm market, or if there's actual storm, then hey, yeah, you can take advantage of the actual insurance. But that's you know, especially if they're definitely qualified, it could definitely take advantage.
It doesn't have to be a major upgrade either. Like people are like, well, geez, I got to sell a $50,000 system, a $20,000. And a $30,000 system. An upgrade of value could be new gutters plus the roof and a maintenance service contract for $495 a year, where they come out two times a year to check on the roof, clean the gutters out a little bit for them, make sure everything's okay. And if a storm or anything does happen, you've got red line access to us over for repairs, replacements, and insurance work. So an upgrade to a roof is the opportunity to express more value into your roofing company than the guy that's just literally apples to apples. A crew comes in, they change it out. Add more value to your relationship, even with a simple $497, different gold package, platinum package, maintenance, roof agreements. Now, air conditioning, always sell a maintenance agreement. They walk out with, all right, so they sell a $10,000 package unit, and they always go for the $297 a year. We come out twice a year to clean out your ducts, right? Or bring you new filters. But they always make an extra $300 and $400, $500, $600 on the sale. So why isn't roofing doing this? You can come on over. You can check the flex seal.
It's important. It's extremely important to add recurring revenue to your business because it's very challenging to go every month. You start at zero, right? At sales, right?
And I'm sorry. I'm so excited. So I got to tell you. It gives you the opportunity be back in front of your customers two more times that year. So are they ever going to forget you when you're there knocking on the door and saying, hey, Mrs. Scoville, we're here for your maintenance. Saying, I'm going to just hop up on the roof, check things out, trim the tree back. You're good to go. Who are they going to hire next time something happens? The next guy that they Google? No, they're going to hire you, the guy that keeps showing up twice a year. And then if you're smart, you're going to 5x5x10 the area. What does that mean? Well, in Florida, it's easy because our homes are like, or I don't live in Florida. Where I say I live there for my whole life. They're like 5 feet from each other. So five door hangers here, five there, and 10 across the street. Now, instead of you visiting one person on the maintenance, you visited 20. So who are they going to call? What happens if they see your wrapped truck They see you up on the roof and you 5x5x10 the area. They're going to call you. So you actually just made a sales call to your client that hired you for a maintenance agreement.
Yeah. You made a point on our pre-call that I want to unpack on air. You said that Ford doesn't advertise the $127,000 price tag on an F-150. They advertise 1.9% for 72 months. Why are contractors so slow to adopt the same thinking in their ads?
It is an absolute paradigm shift that has to happen. The roofers, by the way, if you're listening to this, you're not late to the game. Roofers are running and standing in line and getting enrolled with lenders and Improvify for help because the market has conditioned them to offer financing. So the market's done what the market's done. They're expensive. Deductibles are horrible. Insurance policies are changing. It is what it is. You got to jump on the bandwagon. But think about it. When you're watching the Super Bowl and there's always some major automobile ad that pops up, they'll never put the F-150 and the big long price tag of $130,000. You know what I mean? Their advertisement isn't the price of the automobile. It's the promotion to get you to go down to Ford. It's the 1.9 for qualified buyers on the F-150. And that gets you like all emotional going, man, that truck's gorgeous. 1.9% for qualified buyers. Boom, you're down there in the lobby of the Ford thing. And he's giving you the reality of, you know, the price is 127. You going to pay cash? No. Hey, we can get you this for $695 a month. You ready to move forward? They don't pitch the price. They pitch the monthly payment. Because if you don't qualify for the 1.9, they're going to move you over to a 84 or a 72. It's a big game. And guess what? If you don't qualify, the guy knows a guy that can help you anyway with buy now, pay later across the street for 35%. So like, even if you don't qualify for the 1.9, you still want the Ford F-150. Your guy there got a guy, Charlie, down the road that sells buy now, pay later, buy deeper, right? You still need a truck. You still want a truck. You go buy the truck at 35%. The whole system works this way. So why are you still presenting your $25,000 and $30,000 roof product and expecting somebody to whip out a big thing of cash and whip it down? That's why we train the contractors to present the monthly payment, the promo, then the price. We never have them do price, monthly payment, promo. It's promo, payment, price. Put the price in the back pocket. This is going to scare the hell out of them if you whip it out at the get-go. 12 months, no interest? Let's go. Oh, man, I can't pay off this thing in 12 months. No worries. We've got terms from 1 year to 30 years. 30 years, I'm not going to pay. Okay, that's all right. Calm down. You can choose. Let's apply with a soft credit pull to see what looks good for you, man. You pick how many years you want the damn thing. I'm just letting you know we can do it from 1 year to 30 years. Yeah, we can finance a roof for 30 years here.
What kind of offers have you seen work well? You know, in the people that with the clients you work with.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, thousands and thousands of clients across the United States. So we handle all the markets. But your main girl in the red dress that you want to do, I've seen the girl in the red dress, the attractive thing, the showstopper, the scroll stopper is always this simple. You never sell the interest rate. You sell the affordability factor, right? You sell 100% financing, 12 months. No interest, low monthly payment options, soft credit pull, no prepayment. You know, like you sell the smell of the steak and the onions. You don't sell the steak or the onions. You sell the smell. That's the attractor. You get down in interest rates once they apply, because most lenders are risk-based pricing models where you're super qualified prime people with great credit, like 750 and up. They could qualify for 5.25. Your people with challenge credit could be looking at 35%. So you never want to pitch the interest rate because you don't know what it is anyway. But people still do it. They're going to pitch 5.25 in an ad. Your customer's going to get all upset, think you bait switched them. That's why I don't like interest rate marketing. I like to keep the smell out there, the attractive character in the room, the easy financing, fast approvals, 100% financing, no interest for 12 months. I don't have any APR disclosures to do. I'm never going to get in trouble with my lenders for disclosing something improperly. Stick to the big, beautiful characters in the room when you're advertising financing.
Yeah, and that's what we found as well. We actually, with our clients, we recommend adding this offer, not only, you know, on Facebook, like if you're running off these types of campaigns, which are can be effective, but just adding it to all your web properties, all your marketing materials, adding it to your website, adding it as a banner on your website,
yep,
where people can click it just with the first thing they see.
Yes.
You know, adding it on your landing pages, your materials, if you're doing billboards, on your yard signs, things like that. Just having it, having the ability to, because it's going to get people to click. That's the whole thing. And that's kind of one of the things I get into is trying to, I don't know if you know, I'm sure you know Alex Ramosi. He talks about grand slam offer and making them an offer that they can't refuse. That's kind of the end game. And financing is a big part of that. Like having the offer where they can get a full roof replacement or a full, you know, water heater replacement, which can be very expensive, whatever it is, something that's expensive household item. And the roof is usually the most expensive part in the home. Just pay as little as $150 a month or $99 a month or $200 a month, something like that, where it's like, it's very manageable. This is something that in the car industry, they've been doing for a long, they perfected that in the car industry. They know what they're doing. They know how to do it. And they're selling that.
Stop. Who's going out? Could I? Yes. Will I? No. Who's going out and spending $127,000 on a new car or truck? Dude, like, come on. Why is it any different on a roof or any home improvement? Yet they're out there still trying to be in business. They're selling really expensive, fantastic home improvements with no finance. Alex Ramosi screwed up this morning on a podcast. He like really brushed over this guy that does custom railings offer. And I was like, Alex, my man, I should have called him out when I was with him out in Vegas, but I just saw the podcast today. He just brushed over the fact, are you offering financing through like a firm? I was like, a firm? A firm does like four equal payments. This guy's selling $30,000 to $100,000 railings. Four equal payments. Is it financing? That's painful. Both of the owner of the railing company and Alex missed the fact that you can finance these railings, which will sell more out to a longer term or a promo. He just completely missed the boat in this podcast, man. I was like, what the hell, Alex?
Well, I had no idea. So a railing can be between 30 and 100,000. Wow. I had no idea they were that expensive.
With custom railings in homes. Think about all the railings, right? You got railings that go up the stairs, and we've got railings here that are pretty nice. We've got an elevator in our house as well. We've got railings that go down the back of the house here, three levels. So yeah, man, they can, they do custom railings. And it was one of those things where Alex interviewed the guy and they broke down his whole business, the CAC, the ROAS, all the stuff that he likes to do. And I'm like, come on, guys, you missed this. You missed the sale.
Yeah, yeah. And typical in home improvement, because I know, I guess it depends on the industry, but what is like the, like, I know it's different for different lenders, but typically what is like the lowest the credit rate that you accept?
500 is super subprime. 550 is subprime. Up to 660. 660 to 720 is prime, near prime. And super prime is probably 720 to 850. There's like four buckets.
And just for my own like knowledge, what is the average, like population wise, how does it break down? I don't know if you know that off the top of your head, like what does it break down in terms of like how many people have, percentage wise, how many people have a credit score above?
Average for FICOs is 711. Let's talk about there for a moment. So a lot of contractors say financing is for broke, poor people with bad credit. No, complete opposite. We finance millions and millions of dollars a week. At the end of the year, we look at the data. Oh, you guys look at data? Imagine that. Our average FICO band for the millions and millions and millions of dollars, well over hundreds of millions, is 735. What does that tell you? That tells you that people with prime credit that have money finance because they leverage it from Wall Street. It's that simple. So there goes the theory of only broke people with bad credit need and want financing. It is the exact opposite. The people that are wealthy with high credit scores have leveraged their way to wealth and high credit scores. They've borrowed the money from Wall Street to become filthy freaking rich. Because they're not using their own money to buy things. They're using Wall Street's money to work for them and with them. They're letting their money sit in the market in an investment, and they're leveraging against 5.25 and 9.99 and 12.99 in terms, secured and personal. They're using Wall Street's money to propel themselves in life. And the poor people and the challenge credit people, God bless you, we still love you, don't have that ability to leverage money. That's the problem. Or they've over-leveraged themselves to become challenge credit people. And now you're in a real tough place because you need to replace your HVAC unit or the roof. And your credit is so bad because you've dumped all this debt on yourself with no plan to pay it off through revolving credit cards, Synchrony, Wells Fargo, Citi, like, and you never get a plan out. Whereas a real home improvement loan that has a true simple interest where you're always to be paying 50% interest and 50% principal, you, that's a plan to pay something off. People buy home improvements on their credit cards. Dude, that's the most dangerous thing in the world if you can't ever get into the principal. You're just paying interest only, interest only, interest only, and you never pay the principal away. That is setting you up for disaster. So just offering cash and credit, that's dangerous.
I think the average credit card, even business credit cards, I think it's between 18 and 25% interest rate, something like that, right? And just got to be smart with it. For credit cards, I use them myself. It just got to be smart with it. Basically, you have to pay the balance every month. That's what you have to do.
Average the money from all for 30 days, interest-free, and pay it off at the end of the month, or else don't buy it.
Yeah, exactly. And then you use a credit card. So I'm sure you do the same thing where you use it. You get points on it, and you get a little benefit from actually using it. So I use all my expenses for myself just on credit cards on the business side.
Amex Platinum, that's it. All of our vacations are paid off with them. The hotels, everything. Paying off, we never pay for a bit.
Yeah, and I've been traveling for years using the points that I've accumulated over the years.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the technology in terms of the actual lending. How does it work in practical terms? Like when you have like a when you have a contractor at a home, it's like a soft credit pull, or is like right with the an iPad? How does it work?
Right here. The tool that's needed is all built right here on their mobile app. They access the app. We teach the presentation process of it. We have finance calculators, best, better, and good, or just a standard finance calculator. So you can get to the assumptive, what it's going to probably cost them on a monthly basis. You get them excited about that. Like, hey, it's either going to be 132, 158, or 189 for the good, better, best, right? They're like, what? That's it? Let's go. You mean I don't have to pay $38,000 to get this done? No, it's $189 a month. Let's see it. Let's get you to scan the QR code right here. Soft credit pull. You'll find out what loan options are available, what your terms and what your rates are immediately right here in less than 3 minutes. And it won't even impact your credit score. And you can make a decision which option works best for you. Hey, I mean, you can even see, because I'm in script mode, you can even see if you qualify for one of the promotions that we have. Are 18 months no interest. Or you can do a long-term up to 20 years, 10 years, or 5 years, and just pay the loan off with no prepay. So it's a script, and that's it. They scan the QR code, they apply, unsecured, soft credit pull, and then they get their opportunity, their approvals, and their interest rates, and they make a buying decision right there with the point of sale. Contractor gets stuck. Customer asks them a question they don't know. You know what? It's a great question, Mr. Smith. Nobody's asked me that. Hold on 1 sec. They hit the deal desk. They put it on speakerphone. Hey, Amber, it's Chris. Yeah, from Chris's Roofing. I'm here with my customer. Her name is Amy. Amy's got a question about the 12-month no interest. Can you answer that? Amber goes, hey, Amy, this is Amber from Improvify. What question do you have? I can help you. So the contractor's got us in their back pocket to help their homeowners if they come up with any questions, too. It's like you got an entire office, team, company behind you as a sales rep in the house. When he's like, dude, sweat's pouring off his face. He's like, oh, my God, I don't know what the answer is. And then they call them, they settle the deal, and they go in, they click the button, and the deal's in the pipeline. It's that simple. And then we got unsecured, personal loan, unsecured, and secured loans as well. So if somebody wants to use the equity in their house, we can do a HELOC form and have the money in their account in 5 days. Soft credit pull, terms of 30 years, redraw periods, no appraisal necessary, no doc loan. So if they want to use their equity because they want to pay the contractor directly, plus they want to buy a new Corvette, we could do that up to $400,000.
Nice. You started your career at IndyMac Bank when tech was first disrupting the mortgage world. Now AI is doing the same thing in sales and lending. What do you see AI hitting the contractor financing space first? And what should contractors be paying attention to?
AI hitting the finance space? They're way, way off from that. It's funny that you asked, though. because a new company popped up, a new lender, and I was like, the name was outrageous. I was like, what is this? And it was a full AI lending platform. There was no information about it. There was no office address. There was no privacy policy. There was nothing. It was just a computer. And I was like, who's going to do business with this? It took me old school. It took me like, who's going to trust this platform? It's just the computer that's taking your app. Where does the information go? Is it protected? What compliance is involved right now? So I think we're a ways away from AI being a lender per se. I think that lenders, banks have big compliance boxes, and I just don't think banks are letting AI into them. They are very scared of data breaches and allowing their data to mix into AI. I honestly don't think AI is going to run into the banking world anytime super quick, at least not in home improvement. We're probably 3 years away from that. Now, AI is assisting lenders in certain ways on the backside, but I don't see if there's any threats whatsoever to any lenders out there with AI right now. I just think that data breach and social security information coming in from applicants would be a very scary place for AI. And banks don't mess around, man. They've got very high complex compliance departments that have to comply to personal data breaches. I don't see it happening. Operations-wise, yeah, I'm sure that lenders are using that, but I don't think AI is going to impact the lending space anytime soon.
Yeah, because of the complexity with security, right? It could be a security breach.
Like, we've moved really fast in growth. I built things. I don't have a board. I don't have a compliance. Well, I do have a compliance division to build some technology here. But I'm building things so fast, and my competitors, other lenders in our space are like, how the hell is Scoville doing that? Because I'm not the bank. We're a marketplace that builds technology solutions into our app. So we have relationships with 37 different lenders. We have a consultative process of bringing clients on ours to go, all right, this is what they sell. This is their average ticket. Here's their average FICO. Here's their competitors. Let's build them a system and a portal that can take their marketplace. So I've got multiple lenders in my lending solution, and I'm not a bank, so I don't have to play by anyone's rules out there. You come to my school where I have my education, I teach everybody the truth. I teach them about dealer fees, how to do modifications, how to go from a prime lender to a subprime lender, change contract price. I teach everything that our lenders can't talk about publicly. I'm like the open, honest platform that you can go to, and I'll teach you the nitty gritty. I'll tell you how greedy they are. Like, I'll tell you everything that a lender would never say about them because they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to disclose how dealer feed work. I'll teach everybody how money moves from Wall Street to Main Street and then back to Wall Street. I've got an unfair advantage because I'm not a bank.
Yeah. You work with thousands of contractors. What are the top technologies that you see the top of the guys doing? What are they doing different versus the average contractor?
Yeah, they're using simple smart tools, right? Like efficient estimators, estimating tool, measurement tool for the roof, of course. Images, great CRMs that they're actually using properly. They're using things like Project Mapit to show the proof of the jobs that they've done. And there's nothing more impactful than proof. So if you're at a sales presentation and you've got the Improvify app, so you can structure the affordability and sell best, better, and good, you got a fantastic CRM, you're using some photo system to show the proof of the roofs that you've done before, maybe like company cam or something like that. And then you click on your you go to my toolbox and you click on the project map and say, oh, and by the way, we've done 6,000 installations in this, this zip code. That's technology used smart and efficient. They're not overly tech. Because it's confusing. The sales reps already have a million things going on that. They've got an estimating tool. They have proof tools, pictures of jobs they've installed. They've got their finance tool to help them close at the table. But they're not using everything and they're confused. Simple tools are still the best.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the difference between a contractor doing $500,000 in revenue versus and financing versus someone that's doing $5 million in operation? Like, what's the strategy behind that? How do you see, what's the difference you see?
I would go a bit different. What are their margins? What's their margin? What's their profitability margin at the end of the day? I've met many contractors that have done small numbers and they're happy and they enjoy their families. And I've met many contractors that do $5 million a year. They don't make any money and they're stressed out. You know, like, what's important? What's the value? What are you trying to do? the guy that does, what was the number? 500,000?
500,000. Yeah, 500,000.
The question is, he happy or is he not? The guy that's doing 5 million, maybe he wants to scale it to set it. So each one of them could be different. He may run a small, doesn't sub out, and he gets to see his kids and his wife on the weekend. They go on fishing trips, but he's got a high profit margin because his prices are high like they should be. And he does a great job, and he serves the best communities. And he's got his avatar, and everything's dialed in. And you know who he serves, and you know who he sells, and he stands by him his work. And he uses his crew, and he's 500, and he's bringing home 250,000. He's happy. The guy that's doing 5 million has got 15 subs, they're screwing up jobs, never sees his kids, stressed out to the max, wants to do 5, 10, 15, 30 million, and then he wants to scale out to private equity. I don't know, man. I just sometimes think, I think that was me in the beginning. I wanted to build it to sell it. And the more and more culture we built here, and employees we brought on that we now pay really well and they just love coming to work, I pulled away from that. And I said, you know what? We don't need to sell this thing. This is a big, beautiful business we built. And I don't want my employees to ever be treated worse from some big company buying us. I don't know, man. I'm a little bit like this. At first, I was like, let's build it and let's sell. You know, you come in with this idea that you want to exit. And then the more and more we brought great employees and teams here with the culture that we're building, I'd be so scared to sell this thing, man. And somebody come in and just swallow us up and try to do things. I don't know. I'm torn on it myself, man, to be honest.
Yeah. Are you guys fully remote or?
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone. We have, I think 30 teammates now all over. I've got some people in Egypt. I've got some developers overseas. In my guys from the States, he's from Arizona. He's the project manager on all them. He travels all over the world. I don't even know. I think he's in Peru right now, Lima, Peru. Like, I don't even know. On a weekly basis, I'm like, Cody, where are you? A couple weeks ago, he was doing a fight in Mexico. He had our Improvify shorts on. He was up there fighting. He's all branded up. So I now get to play a sponsored semi-pro boxer out there.
Nice, nice, nice. That's awesome. What's something the industry gets completely wrong about financing that nobody's willing to say on other podcasts?
You know, I get asked a lot, what's the number one thing contractors do wrong about financing? And I just simply say this, they're not offering it. They have a misconception and they think that financing is hard. No, it's hard doing what you're doing now, not having financing. Like all my customers pay cash. Really? What about the ones that aren't your customers? What do you mean? Well, if you're just telling them they paid cash, what about the ones that wanted to hire that don't have it? Why are you doing this to yourself when you can have this little button that you press, they get approved, and you get the money when the job's done? Well, I can't be dependent upon it. Cool. Then offer financing and take 30% down. I never thought I could do that. Of course you did. Because you always pushed back and thought that financing was difficult. So I would say the hardest thing about this is contractors that don't offer it, they're only hurting themselves and they're, more importantly, not themselves. They're customers that really need them and want them. They're not just damaging your business and their growth. They're damaging the customer that they just said, no, I don't offer financing. Next, they're like, the customer's like, but I liked you. You basically went like this to them.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, where do people find you?
I think the easiest thing to do at this point is just go to Improvify, Improvify. Or you can visit my YouTube, where I've got 759 free training videos. So I'm very much like Al Chamozzi. I give information away. I get copied a lot, too, by other lenders. They take my stuff. I see them. I watch them. Which is fine. I don't care. I really don't. I don't compete against anybody. We collaborate with everybody. Like if a contractor's using Green Sky Service Finance, Wells Fargo, Goodleaf, it doesn't matter. They can use us and just close more market share. So if they're using a Service Finance, I love Service Finance. I worked there for years. And they're closing 60%, but they're losing 15% because they don't offer the products that we do. Well, let's go grab 75%, baby. Keep using Service Finance in their two programs that they have. I don't care. Just use me for all the other stuff that you're not getting approved. Doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, yeah. Are you're using Skoll, the one that Helmrosi, you're using it?
Massive. That's our entire private community when a client, a contractor comes on our platform, first thing we do is we give them access to that so they can start in homeroom, and then we move them over to terminology, and then we move them over to lab one, lab two, lab three, lab four, lab five, lab six, lab seven. Then we give them a certified thing that they can hang on their wall, like a certificate, but that also moves them up into a platinum status as a certified contractor with a Brugify. So I've got many classes, live Wednesday trainings, all of the recordings are in there for the last 3 years. It's a massive library of, and then there's advanced studies and advanced sales, obstacles and objections. It goes on and on and on. It's just fantastic. Wow. And then they're in community right now. We have 1,700 in our school. They're in there asking questions. I've got people that monitor it and answer and get back to them real fast. So, yeah, man.
Awesome. Hey, Chris, man. It's a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me. Good seeing you again.
Yeah, for sure. Talk soon.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.